way back in the early 20-teens, a city fella from Minnesota and a wannabe cowpuncher from small town Iowa came together to swap tall tales over the airwaves. They made lots of friends along the way, but even more enemies. By chance, they made acquaintance with a sodbuster from over the other side of the county, who felt obliged to butt in on their little show and give them the what fors from time to time. After nigh on a decade of pointless blathering, one thing led to another, and they were unceremoniously tossed out on their ear from their little radio show. Eventually, this ragtag group found their way back together and decided to start a little podcast we like to call Dutch by Association.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode number 25 of the Dutch by Association podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Barahona, and along with me, as always, are my good friends and co-hosts, Aaron Alonz and Mitch Geese.
Today's episode of the DBA Pod is brought to you by Super High Tech. What are the chances your child does something dumb to their phone this week, this month, or has it already happened? Super High Tech in Sheldon, Orange City, and Sioux Center is open 6 days a week to help you out. On the web at super-ht.com.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mitch. I recycled an old one that didn't have you. You hadn't earned your stripes yet to be able to do an intro.
Well, you had me on the outro.
Oh, I did have you on the outro. Okay.
Yeah.
It's fair.
I was offended at first, but that's fine.
Here's the thing.
You want to end on a high note.
Everyone's quit listening by that point anyway.
Right. They're like, oh, they're done.
Yep. They hear the...
15 seconds. Get past Mitch talking.
They hit the Edmund Fitzgerald. They know it's time to depart.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what. If you want people to listen to Mitch do the outtake thing at the end, then you need to include the bloopers.
Man, I thought about this the other day, too. Of the stuff that I've edited out, we would... It wouldn't be good. Let's just say that we would.
There's a reason, for most of it. Mm-hmm. For most of it to have,
especially
been
when you have a lot of these things that don't have context. It's fine. It's fine. Let's just.
We move. I was driving down the road and I remembered what we cut out from what Mitch talked about the last time we recorded. I just couldn't believe he said that. Watching the video in high school.
But yeah, that's all we need to say.
That guy's first time seeing boobs.
Now you got to edit this again.
No, I we're not going to give context.
It wasn't even an inappropriate movie.
God, don't bait it.
What, you're making it sound like I was watching something that I shouldn't have been.
No, it was somebody else that was. Never
mind. The teacher was playing it.
Yeah, it was in class, so I'm going to say.
You guys are terrible, I tell you what. Terrible on me, too. I guess on all of us. We didn't get website going.
You put blame squarely on Mitch and myself that the website hasn't taken
Well,
off.
I have.
Well, all it is so far is a bunch of stock photos.
A bunch of stock photos, but I do have, I did change it over to like a under construction guy smoking a cigarette. So it's that right now. So anyone that goes to dbapod.com will see that. Hey, coming.
Well, I'd like some feedback about what I should be mad about, and then I can write about that.
If I have to tell you. See, Aaron pulled it up.
That looks like a 100.
Yeah. Well, it's probably a union break, so. And it's an American Spirit, so. Anyway. No, I don't think you should have to feign outrage if you're, you know, what we should do.
Well, I wouldn't have to feign it.
Give me something to be angry about. Breakfast cereal's gone wrong.
Yeah, they don't make them like they used to.
It's just hard for a happy-go-lucky guy like me to find something to be peeved about.
We should ask your wife.
What?
You know, it has been.
Well, that was gears.
Well, and maybe the mere fact that of having Greta here would be enough to get you going.
It's been a little while.
What could I possibly say to my lovely wife?
That you haven't said already.
Well, one of my favorites are, what's your time worth? Mm-hmm. That's a dandy.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I got to give you credit
classics.
For being, if I get mad, it's just, it's a bunch of expletives. It's not anything that actually has substance. It's just me verbalizing emotion. But yes, you made a very coherent point. What is your time worth? that you could not wait 5 more seconds to move the vehicle where the garage door would have been out of the way. So, exactly what is your time worth? Well, let me calculate it for you. Insert number from Bill here, like $2,000-$3,000 later.
I even had the number right of what it was going to cost. She's like, it won't be that much. And I was like, I bet it'll be $2,500. And I was within like $50. It was uncanny.
So yes, you shouldn't have told the garage door guy the story.
No.
And then I told her, I bet this is going to be $2,500.
I may change my estimate here. Right. A minute. Okay. Went from a new spring to... But when you got the bill, did you find some clever way to display it to her just to kind of...
Oh, no, no. She admitted because she thought I was being ridiculous and you know,
over the top
and exaggerating how much it was going to be. And then it came in. She's like, oh, you were right. So
yeah, I would have just written the check and never said anything about it.
You wouldn't have rubbed your wife's nose in it like Mitch did?
Oh, no. Well, I don't know. I was saying if I was in Greta's shoes, I would have fired the check off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not said you were right. I mean, that's pretty good.
Well, she wasn't excited about admitting that. I mean, let's be real here.
Saw a picture of you guys out at the Winter Games over the weekend. That was...
Yeah.
That, to me, just... There's no aspect of that at all that sounds like fun. Not one little bit of that.
So what do you know about it?
You go and stand on a lake in the cold and get drunk. There's one aspect of that I could get behind.
And I didn't do any of that. We went up there just because we hadn't seen my parents in over a month, I don't think. And so we thought, well, good weekend to go up there and see what's going on. But we didn't actually go do anything. We went out on the ice in front of their house and played in the snow a little bit. And that was pretty much it.
I watched the polar bear plunge.
No.
Start the Christmas trees on fire.
We've done that before, but...
How long were you outside, you yourself?
Less than an hour.
See, you spent longer driving than you did outside.
Yeah. We were going to go to like Westo and grab a beer, and then we both decided like, nah,
you
not,
want to get
not
wrapped up
dealing
in that.
With all that crap. So, never mind.
So, Aaron was there.
Wait, you were?
No.
No.
Well, I was hoping maybe I'd just catch him off guard.
No, was there a grass-fed beef component to the Winter Games that I wasn't aware of?
Yep, selling beef sticks.
Yep.
Well, there was supposed to be like a horse show or something. I guess that was former life, Aaron. Back when you were a horse show.
Back when I had
on the
expendable
ice?
Income. No, it wasn't. I don't
it was
think
like
it was
a
on
trick pony type of a thing, but they canceled
How many?
I know
just
of
the
at
one
least,
trick pony.
No, multiple tricks. Multiple trick
Thank
pony.
You. Thank you.
Yeah. But with the ice and the misting and so forth, it's just too dangerous.
Yeah.
But would they have them out on the ice? Is that like it's outside?
It was outside somewhere. I don't know where.
Yeah.
And again, this is probably going towards my unfounded and unnecessary, likely, hatred for anything that happens up at the lakes. Because it's like a big party that I was never invited to. It was that way when I first moved here, and then I don't think I ever got over it.
Yeah.
I mean, now
sorry that we're cooler than you. But,
that's it. That's it right there. You smug SOB. That's exactly why I don't like you people. There. Thank you, Aaron, for
I love the lakes.
Bringing that up.
I love the lakes. I'm not going to apologize for it either.
You know, yeah, I would be a lot.
I'd love it too if I had my own lake place or had parents that did. Yeah.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, 100%.
Yes, you're right.
Having somebody else you
Darn
can
it.
Stay with for
yes,
free
you're
is
right.
makes the lakes
that
awesome.
Is probably the best way to have lake life.
Hashtag
somebody else making the payments and the property tax payment.
Mm-hmm.
What is the property tax outrageous over there?
Well, relative to the property value, probably not, but it is still, it's still higher, definitely.
And it's always your second house, so you're paying 100% of its assessed value.
Well, it's not Geese's second house.
Well, it used to be, but it is their only residence.
It's primary
now.
Residence now. Yeah.
But
and you're on Minnewashta?
Minnewashta, yeah.
So there really wasn't much excitement down in Minnewashta?
Well, there were a ton of people out on the ice. There was a somebody slept in an ice shack, and not like a nice ice shack, like one of those clamshell right out in front of my parents' place, because I thought, geez, those guys are fishing late. And I got up in the morning, because we stayed there Saturday night, and got up in the morning, and those guys were just crawling out of there, like getting ready to pack up for the day. I thought, oh, that had to be comfy.
Yeah, I'll pass.
Yeah.
Not, no, no. Wow. I've done the ice fishing, but it's been in a trailer home that was brought out on the ice that had the heat and air conditioning, because, you know, you want to make sure to maintain the
right
proper temperature.
It's too hot.
And, yep. Direct TV and all that jazz. So I can't imagine.
I went ice fishing one time, went up to the Lake of the Woods and in a clam deal. And
why would you go all the way up there to go in a clam deal?
Because that's what they invited me for. Is like,
is this like a church thing where there was no budget?
No. No, but it was people from church who are notoriously no budget.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a suburban full of, I think, six of us went up there in one little crappy hotel room in Bemidji or whatever is up there, sleeping on the floor. And then we got up, and it was like 26 below zero. It's still dark, and you're going out there, and you're scooping the ice off. You set up the... What a most miserable thing I ever did.
Get the auger.
I bought a couple poles. I bought all of the stuff, and I gave it away on the way back. I said, who wants my stuff? I am never doing this again.
See, dumbest thing ever. You didn't have any trophy fish?
We caught a lot of fish. Caught a lot of fish, but yeah, it just was like, this is so stupid. What are we doing up here, guys? We drove this far to be this miserable.
Yeah, isn't it awesome?
Ooh, look at that fish. Ooh.
Wow. Yeah, but you got to take home $10 worth of perch.
Walleye.
Oh,
and
no?
the fake walleye. What's that? The one that looks like a walleye?
Rock bass?
Nothing. It looks just like a walleye, but it's got a little bit of different markings on it. Should have never said that out loud to a couple guys that don't go walleye fishing.
I do if someone else is paying for it.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
much like the lake idea.
So we sat out on Lake of the Woods from dark till dark and
enjoyed the scenery inside of a clam shell.
Yeah, and then you open the top and then you turn your heater 90 degrees so it's pointing straight up and you set your can of SpaghettiOs.
You got the little sunflower heater.
Yes.
Sounds like prison.
That's what I thought.
Except in prison you get three hots and a cot, not a can of SpaghettiOs on the floor of a seedy motel room.
Yep, that's what it was. And you know what? Thanks, Brent, for bringing me. But don't ever have to do that again.
And this is something that they obviously had done it before, so it wasn't like they were
tricked. And I must not have been that much fun to be with, because they never invited me back either.
Well, maybe you giving all of your stuff away on the ride home might have been a tell. Could have been.
I'm just, if
and it was a deal, so we had three little two-man shacks. So you're stuck with one guy all day.
You run out of things to talk about pretty quick.
Yeah,
and I didn't really know the guy that well, and
there's like a smell.
And ice is forming on the canvas of the clamshell because your heater is pumping moisture and carbon monoxide into the clam.
Yep.
And the moisture is freezing to the roof of the clam. And when you're done, you've got a sheet of ice over top of you that's started just... Never again. Never again. And I got this guy that works for me. He's like, oh, man, I just can't wait to go ice fishing. And I'm like, that is just the stupidest thing. I'm losing respect for you.
It sounds fun until you explain it. Oh, you want to go up Minnesota ice fishing? Yeah, sounds great. But then if you actually wrote out what it all entailed, do you want to drive 8 hours and sit in a dark hole, suck in noxious fumes, and eat canned pasta? Not really.
Doesn't sound like a good vacation.
I don't know.
That was a lot of years ago. Now it's, now you got kids. So you'd be like, oh man, I'd really love to.
But yeah, let the kids do all the work. But do you think your story would have been different had you had some like big fish come out of there and say, look at this whopper?
No way.
No. You, still what? Well, you weren't really a fisherman anyway.
No, and I'm really not.
Yeah.
So.
Well, but at least in the summertime, you're enjoying the outdoors. You're on the lake. It's usually somewhat scenic and weather's nice.
He says somewhat scenic. He pulls into that Miller's Bay or whatever.
I'm talking like people that go out to South Dakota in a glorified farm pond. That's not that scenic.
Now, I'm a lot like Wayne. I think when you go, you're going with somebody else's stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah. Okay, you got poles for me? You got the bait. You've got the boat. You got the thing that pulls the boat. All right, yeah. I'm coming.
Well, that was great when we went when you and I went to Minnesota that time, and the guy was like, "What's that junk you brought?" I'm like, whatever they had at Shucks. Yeah, leave it in the truck. I got way better stuff than that. I'll even bait it for you.
Yeah,
sweet.
Okay, I'll drive the boat. I mean, he was basically doing everything except for giving us beer, and we were really.
My
good
only
at that.
Job was to back the trailer in before the boat sank when the plug cracked.
Whoops! Right.
Yeah. Yeah, we almost died, but other than that, it was a great trip.
John Doley is one heck of a guide.
Yep,
so.
Yep, he excellent.
Yep, I do appreciate that. Outdoor activities to that end, Ragbri has officially announced its overnight stops.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's I believe it's Lamar's.
Lamar's
our closest area.
That's where it's starting.
Yeah.
So it's everybody,
Lamar's before, to yeah. Sac City. Which I looked it up on Google Maps is 86 miles by the most direct route.
And you get some hardcore people that will want to start on the Big Sioux River.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they won't want to take the direct route. They want to, let's do the hard route.
Yeah, because they usually have the gravel loop and all that.
Another thing that really get me. Yeah, no, I'll pass.
Percent chance this actually happens this year.
100%.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They changed the route because Storm Lake didn't want them.
That's right.
Several towns didn't want them. So that's why that I think they have fewer stops, actually.
Would explain the longer distance, or at least the longer distance between stops. But
is the alternate bicycle crew going to put something on?
I think that was it.
Yeah,
they're done, probably.
The Iowa's Ride, something like that. Yeah, I don't know if. Maybe those sour grapes had a chance to ferment.
I thought I'd heard that dude went on to something else.
Yeah, I think he moved to Arizona or something, and now he's the
Okay, so it's July 18th through the 24th, Dubuque to Rock Rapids.
Oh.
What?
Yeah.
Huh.
It'll be a one-time deal.
July 18th through the 24th, 2021. Now, this update was released on May of 2020. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
So yeah, let's not put a lot of...
Yeah, they kind of cashed in on the outrage over the whole Carson King thing.
Oh,
which
that's right. That was the catalyst
behind it. Yep. And now, 2 years later, so many people are going to be like, Carson, what? Who? Mm-hmm.
The Bush Light guy?
Yeah.
Oh, the guy that makes the funny videos with the beard. No. The other Bush Light guy.
The quarterback? No, that's Carson Wentz. I like how they have a stock photo or photos on here of people riding Ragbri.
Iowa's Ride website. Have either of you guys ever ridden any of Ragbri?
Would you look at us for a minute and ask that question?
I tried it once.
How far did you get?
Let's see. So here's kind of how it went. My boss at the time, like the day before, called me and is like, "Hey, a bunch of people from work are going to ride the first leg on Sunday. You want to come?" I'm like, "Oh man, I haven't ridden a bike in 2 years.
This would be a great time.
It'll be fun. Yeah. It'll be easy going. The first day is really easy and casual. Come on, you got to do it." So literally Saturday night, I'm taking my bike out of the rafters and hoping the tires are good and everything else. Show up to his place Sunday morning. Started in I think Sioux Center or Orange City, one or the other. Anyway, and then was supposed to go all the way to Cherokee, and I got to Marcus. And the wind came up, and you go south out of Marcus, and that's where it starts to get real hilly.
Yep.
And then I'm going into a 25 mile an hour wind. I got a mile out of Marcus, turned around, went back to the truck stop, and called Greta and said, "Come pick me up."
Nope.
No way I'm making it to Cherokee.
Hey, Marcus was a good effort.
Yeah, well, 20 some miles. Yeah. I felt like, I was still sore, so apparently I worked pretty hard.
Yeah. When we were kids, it was Sunday. We were at Grandpa and Grandma's house, which is just 1 mile off of Highway 18, but they routed them down gravel and then over to get onto L40 so they didn't have to funnel through them two narrow bridges there. That sent them right past Grandpa and Grandma's house. So me and my cousins just sat in lawn chairs. I mean, we would have been high school, maybe.
Yeah.
And watched all of Ragbri come right past Grandpa and Grandma's house with no fanfare. And it's just, you're just sitting there and... thousands of people ride bike by.
No, nope.
So
you
cool.
could have made a killing. You could have made
it's
a
Sabbath,
killing.
Man.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's right. Come back on Monday. I'll have lemonade.
How soon we forget.
I know. Even though I'm Dutch, I missed a free dollar. There are some things.
Yeah, that's some things that money can't buy. And apparently atonement is not in that list. So, or is on that list, whatever. All right. Speaking of money, we're going to talk a little bit more about that in the terms of what's going on in the world and some more of the stuff that I got to experience on our local government level. And we'll do so next.
Manipulating the market, man.
I was like, well, isn't that what you and your trader bros did?
Well, yeah, but they did it first.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Well, that justifies it. If you haven't heard, GameStop, of course, has been in the news basically ad nauseum here over the last couple of weeks. A couple of Redditors, I should say more than a couple, there were several thousand Redditors that subreddit called Wall Street Bets, and they called these meme stocks. So I got to learn a little bit of the vernacular. So when there is a, when you make money off one of these stocks, it's called a tendy, like chicken tendies.
Oh,
okay. You know, like that's a thing. And then when you hold on to the stocks, they're diamond hands, and when you let go of the stocks, you have poop hands, poop emoji hands.
What?
Dude, I don't know. I don't, but
I'm sure many people are going to ask, why did we, 2 weeks ago, we said we were going to have these two trader bros on that were going to educate us all on this
deal.
Well,
they're retired now, and they're living on their private island, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, yeah, the reason why they're not here is poor planning on our half, but or on our behalf.
Oh, it snuck up on us. It's been 2 weeks?
Yeah. Didn't seem like it'd been that long.
And these young kids with their newfound rich and famous lifestyle, they're hard to get on.
It's true. They
Yeah, I think CNBC had them booked first, and so I mean, what are the odds?
Carson Daly.
They were writing for Forbes. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. The Motley Fool, I think.
Yeah, help you along with that joke, yeah. So we won't spend a whole lot of time on the ins and outs of it, because I'm sure by now you understand what's happened. Really, the crux of the deal is that hedge fund managers decided that they were going to short this stock, or they were going to basically borrow the stock and in hopes that it would go lower and then sell the stock back and then reap the benefits of the difference. And there has been a number of apps out there, Robinhood being one of them, that has empowered the individual investor to make their own trades on their own without a broker, without a financial advisor, just basically the same way that you would order pizza or scroll through old ex-girlfriend pictures on your phone. You would find it there.
Wayne's two favorite activities on the internet, apparently.
No, it's just more the pizza than anything days. But so it's really highlighted a difference in class. So you have the hedge fund class that is doing this. This is their job. This is what they've done for years.
Making millions on our backs.
Billions. Billions with
That's
a B.
That's what I was told
with
at a dinner time.
And then
on his back.
And my back and your back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And manipulating the market. Meanwhile, now this is kind of the crowdfunding, crowdsourced antithesis of that. Instead of having one person with a lot of money to make a difference, you have a lot of people with a little bit of money, and that creates the same squeeze. You have the same same minutiae. You have the same potential for growth, and has caused this chaos in the market. What remains to be seen, of course, is the long-term lasting effects of this. But I know Aaron has a Robinhood account.
Oh, I just got an email like 45 minutes ago from Robinhood. We wanted to reach out to you after a transformative week in the markets to answer questions. Many of you are asking, why did Robinhood limit certain stocks? Because of the ban, man.
Because they couldn't pay for it.
Yeah, they hit their limit on what...
Well, so... I think what was happening was when the Robinhood would, they'd have to have this money
right
ahead of time, you know, to buy these stocks in order to be able to resell them to the individual users. And now they just applied for another $1 billion in debt relief, or at least to cover debts.
Yeah.
And it just these numbers are just so astronomical.
Mm-hmm.
Just, and it's, you know, I listened to a story of someone who had the idiocy or cojones, however you want to look at it, to invest $250,000 in GameStop in December when it was $5-6 a share, and cashed out towards the top. It was, you know, in the 300s at that time. Ended up walking away with $4 or $5 million. And I mean, of course, that's unheard of. But this is gambling. This is straight up gambling. There's no long play here.
No, not according to my trader bro employee. It's easy, man. It's easy.
Yeah.
And I reminded him that, hey, you've been playing during a bull market.
Yeah.
Like one of the most insane.
One of the most insane.
Fed pumping billions and billions and billions and billions.
The fundamentals don't support any of it. It's all speculation. So enjoy it while it lasts. Better be able to get out at the right time.
I downloaded the app.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gotten to the point where I put my bank information in there yet, because I kind of feel like once I do that, then I'm going to do something dumb. Like that, when I, you know, a wise man knows his limitations, and I feel like if I do that, I'd say, well, I'm smarter than these bros.
So last week I had like, so I invested originally $100.
Yeah.
And then Robinhood gave me $4 for starting. So I had $104, put it into cryptocurrencies, and it collapsed. And it went up one time and then it collapsed again. So I had like $80. And Tyler said, you give me your, the next thing is this AMC. We're going after AMC. Yeah. You give me your phone, I'll get you some AMC. So we invested in that. And like within 12 hours, I had lost 50%. And it was into like the 30 some dollars. That's, and now I'm up to 50. But if you look at this, it looks just like the Grand Canyon.
It does.
And yeah. Right at the top of the Grand Canyon, before you go down into the canyon, that's where I put my money in. And then, thud.
But you're supposed to buy
it.
It
was just $80. But
yeah,
imagine
somewhere along the way, the burro that's supposed to haul your ass back out of the Grand Canyon is going to have a heart attack.
He is. He's going to say,
and then you're screwed.
Hey, man, our weight limit's 250 pounds. You're going to have to skip some suppers and then we'll talk.
Do you think that this will be, and I know neither of you are, or none of us are financial gurus, but looking at how this has really changed the dynamic, you really wonder what this is going to do for our currency as a whole. I mean, now that you know that the entire international market can be upended by some people with a temper tantrum and a
couple
of
stocks.
Yeah, I wouldn't say the entire financial market, but they're playing with silver today.
Yeah, they're playing with silver today. And billions. I mean, companies lost billions of dollars because of these people.
Yeah, there were trades in the tens and hundreds of thousands of GameStop. That wasn't you or me or average Joe investor.
True.
That was another fund screwing over the other fund. Is exactly what that was. They jumped in.
Yep.
Because there are very, very, very few people in the world with the capital to do that, and most of them who do have it wouldn't make that bet, you know, on a single stock like that.
So then let's transition to 401k. How much thought do you have to that? You know, is it still a viable means of?
Oh man, yeah,
100%.
Super aggressive, hammer down.
Super aggressive, like a 4% return.
No.
You can do whatever you want in a 401k.
Well, you're investing in mutual funds and annuities. You're not riding the
mutual funds can be as aggressive as you want them to be. I mean, mutual fund just means a collection of stocks.
But when they dumb it down and they come in and they say, how aggressive?
How aggressive? What's your target retirement date?
A, B, or C?
Yes.
But there are
super duper aggressive. And then the guy says, whatever you do, do not open the envelope.
Yeah.
Because it can get really awesome and it can get really ugly. You just wait till you retire.
Doesn't the whole thing seem like it's the beginning of Oregon Trail? All right. We're going to go maximum bullets. meager rations. We're going to go a tremendous pace.
I would say that's my investment outlook. In my IRAs, I would say so, yeah.
If I make it to the Willamette Valley, great. If not, well, what the hell? I had a lot of fun along the way.
That's right. I hope to be a good marksman someday. And I wonder how that's going to be, you know, future generations will look back and say that, you know, that when they got the ability, because I think you're going to make and people, average people with above average access to information are now able to influence entire markets.
I still don't. I think it was a very unique thing and they caught some people off guard and had a little bit of info that people didn't think they would have, which is that these funds took a short position on a couple of very specific stocks that were affected, you know, to a greater degree than most other businesses in the middle of a pandemic. All the stars had to align for that to work.
And if anything, it teaches the hedge funds, don't bet on something losing.
Right. Where you have when you don't have any ceiling.
People can see that. And with social media the way it is, you can be punished badly.
That is what a hedge fund does, though.
But when you short something, you have no cap for loss. When you buy a normal stock, the stock can go to zero. That's the floor. That you can't go any lower, but when you short something.
But as Tyler says, the calls are where the money's to be made.
Yeah.
He did calls on Tesla, and that's where then Tesla skyrocketed, and he hundreds of percent gain.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is I can't wait to have them two boys in.
Mm-hmm.
Just edumacate me.
I can't wait.
I think we did it all already. I feel like we...
No, and part of me wants to even give the kid a little bit more. Give him $200. Say, here's two $100 bills.
How?
Go play.
So how much money has he made? I'm curious.
You know, that's the thing. That's all you only ever hear the what I made.
Right? Yeah, I know. It's like people that I know that go to the casino a lot. They always came back. They either broke even or won $200. I'm like, how do these poor casinos make it? Right. How do they make it?
Because all I heard was everybody that went in the door hauled off.
Yeah, yeah. Made out like a bandit every single time.
But what strikes me as odd is you are the most conservative. You come from the most conservative background of any of us. And yet you are gung-ho, like as gung-ho as a Dutch person gets by saying, I gave you money and you lost it. Here's more. I'll double down. So that does not sound like something an Alonz would do.
No, you're right. My mother would tell me what a shame at this moment. That's really disappointing. But when I look at it, and this can be a slippery slope. Okay. Now I look at it as I put $100 in for entertainment. I can take my whole family to Sioux City and eat at a restaurant where I'm going to drop $100.
Which is not a Dutch trait.
No. So if you instead we stayed home and had ham buns and I spent that $100 in Robin Hood. So, I mean, there's ways you get when you look at your entertainment budget, if you budget, hey, I'm getting a lot of entertainment out of because I've probably had this in Robin Hood for well over a year. It's just kind of fun to mess with.
But how much do you actually mess with it? I mean,
I left it alone forever.
Yeah,
I'm looking at it a lot. So I can heckle Tyler.
Well, yeah, you look at it, but you're not
my money.
But you're not actually making trades.
No.
And that's where I, at least to me, the fun would lie, you know, in making those.
I'm too old to understand the app. I think it's like if I was 37, I think I would get it. But now there's just this disconnect between how my brain works and how the app functions. And I just can't get it to work.
Well, shoot, I turn 38 this month or next month. I better get on that.
Just isn't it amazing how some things can frustrate you and then you just say, how old am I? How is this frustrating?
Well,
come on, man.
Look what I do for a living. I work with technology for a living and I still, you know, I still have my okay boomer moments with my employees. Okay. Like my biggest thing is on all the computers that I own or that I manage or whatever, I'll put on the old school start menu, like from Windows 7.
Mm-hmm.
I have that on every single computer, and I can tell when someone else has been on the computer because it's been removed. Because they're just, what is this?
What is that?
It's like a baby's
MS-DOS?
Toy.
MS-DOS?
Wait, am I going to go find Microsoft and Carta on here? No. But then I start to get, you know, like echoes of my mother. Like, why do they got to keep changing stuff? Stuff was just fine the way it was. Good Lord, man, you're 37.
Yeah, I had a moment like that yesterday. I was trying to use our scanner at home, which, you know, home scanner is never very great anyway.
Right, and you hardly use it, so.
I'm in the office, I'm like, Greta's like, what are you doing in there? Trying to scan something. Oh, let me help you. And she comes in, she's like, you know, you work with a computer every day. You really should know how to do this. I'm like, yeah.
But I'm thinking.
Remember, I'm older than you. Whatever.
Yeah, well, the scanner can't get me on Twitter, so it's useless to me.
Now we're all old man mad thinking about technology, I think. So
I need a drink.
One of the old man things, though, is dealing with the city budget. So we looked at a couple of different things during our last budget session. And we, since our city manager has gotten here, our debt ratio or debt capacity went from 92% down to just a tick over 50. And that's been in 3 years, I think.
So we paid a lot of stuff off.
We did. And we generated more revenue. We did raise some taxes, but we generated more revenue. And we cut some expenses as well. So now you look at the landscape that is 2021. And one of those things, when you're dealing with it, you see that you can get money for really cheap right now. I mean, dirt cheap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Home loan rates under 2%. I don't know if they still are. I mean, but I got when we purchased our house, it was 2%. Brother-in-law selling a house right now. Just sold it. Was on Facebook for all of 6 days.
Left some money on the table.
Yeah, I told him the same thing too, and he said, "Whatever, man. It's the price they paid asking." And I felt I was being a little bit generous on the asking, so that's good. So now we look at, okay, we have the ability to grow on the cheap versus, you know, maybe we just put this money back in our pocket. And then so then we start looking at what happened. You know, you've got the older generation that is definitely more fiscally conservative versus what I would say my generation would be, and that'd be more pro-growth because of the more that we grow, the more that we will eventually get in tax money. And I think it was in one of the close sessions, but I said, I want to become the next Spencer. I think that's a realistic goal for Sheldon. And I think that we have, you know, we've got the 1860 corridor. So we've got traffic and we've got the only thing that we really lack right now is land, which is going to probably be the next thing that we look at.
Well, why not borrow the money while it's cheap if you know you're going to have to spend it eventually?
So one of the things that we're looking at is the Crossroads North project that we have going on out there. We've got the new truck stop. But then we also have the opportunity to purchase a couple parcels that are adjacent to that. Plus, we need to get the infrastructure into the other parcels that are on the existing land that we own and try and make that stuff shovel ready. But
you spend, know, spend, spend. Let's go. What are we waiting on, man?
The older that I get, the more that I really like having my money. So I get how there is the idea that you want to maybe build up and not have to borrow when you want to do these big capital expenditures. But
I've heard a lot of the comments of, well, you know, we got to keep taxes low so people want to move here. People don't move to places based on low taxes.
You are 110% right. If you can find someone who moved to town here because, yeah, you know, I was comparing property rate taxes to these other towns, and
that no one ever.
Yeah, never. I could. Yeah. Now it'd be one thing if it was, you know, double or triple to live in one town of, you know, relatively equal size and quality and amenities and whatever else. Yeah, you might look at that, but most people never know the difference until they're paying the tax.
Yeah, and they're looking at. If someone that decides to move to Sheldon is looking at the things that taxes have provided.
Yes.
The infrastructure, the school, the schools.
doesn't mean I don't want us to be responsible and keep the taxes as low as they can be and still provide the things we want. But if you are wanting to grow the town, adding $100 to my tax bill is not going to prevent me from wanting to live here. You know, I guess I would rather, if that actually buys me what I would like to have in my town.
Right.
There's a limit to that, obviously. But, you know, you drive, I've said that before. I think I've said it on this show. You drive around our town and drive around other towns in Northwest Iowa. Say you had to live here in the area for your job. You're going to base which town you want to live in based on what you think of the town and the housing that's available and those kind of things. You're not going to look at the tax rate and pick your town based on that. Otherwise, you're going to live in Gaza.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, the grocery store is 30 minutes away, but they almost pay me to live here. Yeah. So there's that. Yeah. I'm 100% agree with that. And that's been kind of my biggest issue with being on the council is trying to understand those that don't share that same value, I guess.
What platform did you run on, man?
I ran on growth. That was my platform.
There you go.
So and that's what I'm committed to.
And what platforms did people that didn't win run on?
They ran on reigning in spending.
Thank you.
So there you have it.
Well said.
Yep.
All right. I like walking away a winner, so I'll even if it's just in this room, I'll take it. And we'll be back with segment three next.
No, that was one of my favorite things is waiting for the printout. Come on.
Still 99th.
You're the heaviest kid out of 100 of you.
Number one.
Woo! Yeah. O'Doyle rules.
But do you think the Northwest Iowa's heavier?
Oh, I think we're bigger.
As a population?
Bigger in general.
Just look at state basketball and state football. 100%. You just got all these...
I mean,
bigger.
Well, you know,
kids out here.
A lot of Dutch people. Netherlands is second tallest nation in the world to Denmark, I believe.
What? What kind of random ass fact is that?
I read it in a magazine somewhere. But in nations with higher dairy consumption, have higher average heights. Just so you know. So
we do dairy here.
You do. Yep.
We joke about corn fed. We're really more milk.
Yeah.
Fed.
Yeah. That's Dutch true. And Germans. Yeah.
We do our
like
milk.
Their dairy. And, I'm 6'1". I'm not a small person, but in Northwest Iowa, average height, maybe. If even that, honestly, in certain circles. And I go to Chicago or something, and, I'm like Andre the Giant walking down the street. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. Four of us went. My friends were at Dort. It was 2002. We drove up into Toronto, stopped at the Niagara Falls, and... A bunch of people not from Canada were at Niagara Falls, and there we stood, the four of us, about six rows back, able to see just as well as the front row of tourists. We were a head taller than all of the tourists there. It was just, we just marveled at it, and they marveled at us. Because I, at 6'3", was probably the shortest one.
I'm going to palm your head like a basketball. Yeah. I've never had that problem. Had more of a problem like buying pants that were squares. I mean that
little SpongeBob squares.
Height, it was being 5'7" my life that did not do me any favors. And my poor daughter, poor Ava. She's they probably do this for your kids too, but they can do some sort of calculation and just kind of figure how tall they're going to be when they're full grown. Mm-hmm. I think she's going to be 5'2", is what they estimated. But yeah, she's...
But she's a girl, so it's okay.
Yeah.
If you had a little boy, then you might be like, oh, that's too bad. Yeah.
Can we do some stretches or something? Is there a way we can work this out?
This is for Lydia, where I bring up the Andy Griffith episode, where Barney had to be a certain height. Sorry.
I got that one.
So Asa played with the basketball team in Sioux Center this last Thursday night, and they just got absolutely murdered. 70-some to in the teens. Absolutely murdered. The Dutch kids, there was an eighth grader who could dunk.
What?
Who was told by his coach not to dunk. You better not
dunk on these little Christian kids.
So, wait, weren't they Christian
too?
Yeah,
they were too. They were all Christians. Yeah, they, so, that sounds terrible.
But they were Sioux County Christians, so.
That's right. Oh, we were the O'Brien County. We were from across the river. So, but
they're trying their hardest.
It was just ugly. For whatever reason, Sioux Center Christian, they've got 18 boys on their eighth grade basketball team, and they thought they should bring the seven best to play Sanborn Christian, who has two eighth graders, one of which hasn't played a basketball game in his life until months ago.
They probably listened to the podcast and heard about all the NBA moves.
All the NBA moves on one kid.
There you go.
But do you know what was interesting? One of the kids on the team, on their team, was named Asa.
Really?
Yep. So my boy was like on both sides of the court getting cheered on. Hey, yeah, I really did pretty good.
Reminds me of the movie, I know Aaron's not seeing, but you remember the movie Little Giants?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I envision when I envision the Sanborn Christian basketball team.
Annexation of Puerto Rico.
Fumble Rooski. Playing is not optional, kids.
No, you're going. It's mandatory.
And
you're going out there. So tomorrow they go to Orange City. So I'm hoping Orange City like brings a seventh grade team, or maybe it's a perfect opportunity when you've got a matchup like that to take your kids that don't normally play and say, "All right, you guys are starting. Call grandma. Call grandpa. Get them into town.
There you go.
You know, you're going to play the whole game, but then you're still going to beat them by a lot. So no shame.
But then don't you think they would establish a complex like, oh, we're that team? They got to bring in their subs. They don't even start the starters for us.
No, that's perfectly fine because as a kid, you're like, oh, we might win now.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's all they're thinking.
So you're not worried about the pride. Maybe that's an interesting study in psychology because you're more worried about the team win at that point than you're worried about the individual loss. You know,
they're not even giving us the time of day with their starters.
This coming Saturday, they released the bracket for the tournament, and it's all small schools. So thankful. Because last year, they just threw them all in the same bracket, and Sanborn just got smooshed. And then into the loser's bracket. We might have a chance. No, you don't.
Nope.
Smooshed again.
All right. On that note, I'm going to address this to you, Mitch. Mitch, you grew up here. You got to experience what life was like playing for a public school while all the private schools had their privilege.
Our privilege, you know what our privilege was? Soccer. That was my privilege.
Basketball and volleyball. Let's keep it real here. One of the things that I've heard in my time here is people that advocate for the Christian schools, the private schools, to have their own tournament. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I don't. They're not that good. No, they are really good, but a part of me as a public school kid wants to just to stick it in their eye a little bit. But no, I don't really think that Western Christian has an unfair advantage. I certainly don't think Galen Catholic or Remsen St. Mary's have an unfair advantage. They do really well compared to the public schools in their communities, but they don't have an unfair advantage. The Dowling thing, that's a little different. It's a big metro area. Helin has traditionally been the same way because the public schools are, economically deficient, you might say, lacking in some opportunities. So some kids who really don't fit the mold of who would normally be going to the Christian school end up there partially because of athletic opportunities. I'm not saying that's the only reason they went there or that they were recruited based on that, but I think maybe mom and dad steered them there because that was a better opportunity, which is great. I mean, that's great that they're getting a good education, but on the other hand, that doesn't seem right.
But that wasn't the primary motivator. Education wasn't the primary motivator.
Yeah, well, and that could be...
How crappy is that?
That could be said for kids on the debate team or anybody else or people who...
No one's changing a school because they got a killer debate team.
Well, I'm just saying that out of the general population, there are a lot of reasons that people send their kids to private schools. It could be for keeping up appearances. It could be because they have religious beliefs. It could be because of whatever. So to throw the baby out with the bathwater does not seem fair. But I do understand that criticism, especially in large metro areas. In rural Northwest Iowa, yeah, it sucks to lose to them because, you know, Unity was in our conference and I don't know. For whatever reason, we didn't like the Unity kids. I didn't even really know any of them, but we didn't have a problem with the other private schools.
Hey, guys, how's it going? Get out of here!
Well, yeah.
Paulina's a sacred place!
Part of it was, for some reason, a bunch of kids at Unity thought they were, like, gangbanger type of guys, and for real.
What? For DC Talk?
I don't know. It was like a weird dynamic, and so we made fun of them for that. But
what's up, my Nebuchadnezzar?
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the movie now where the guy's really over the top trying to be something he's not.
It's something California.
Malibu's Most Wanted or whatever.
One. That's the one.
Picture that. It was only a handful of kids, but yeah, so we kind of looked down on them for that. But no, I don't think they need their own tournament. We're not a big enough state to justify that, for one thing. So,
okay, so does fairness come into that? Hey, are you talking about who's not fair? Not fair. Not fair.
And I can certainly understand when you're in the same district and class as Western or Unity, and you've got a volleyball team.
And you have to go through them to get to the state tournament. Now, yeah. I guess I would be okay, to play the devil's advocate part here, I would be okay if, you know, you didn't have to face the Steamrollers in the regionals. You know, the sectionals or whatever they are, you know, at least give them the opportunity to go have the night at the hotel room and actually, you know, have some of those. Because let's face it, what the athletics that happen up here are some of the best in the state for our class. I mean, really, they have been traditionally.
I would say the argument carries more weight in either the large metro areas. Well, yeah, definitely in the large metro areas, regardless of the size of school, because the Dowling Catholics and the Helens pull from the other schools. And then you got a Council Bluffs St. Albert. Council Bluffs, not a very nice town.
Right.
Very small Catholic school. Who's going to go there? I mean, yeah. So you're making a Class A or 1A school out of a 4A district. Kids that want to win in sports and go to a nicer school are who is going to go there. And then they're competing against Akron Westfield or South O'Brien or whatever. They don't get to pick and choose out of a city of 100,000 people who to put on their team, where Council Bluffs St. Albert maybe does a little bit.
Yeah, they certainly have a lot more.
I'm not trying to pick on them or anybody or say there's anything nefarious, but yeah, that they definitely have an advantage.
We're going to make that one Western grad guy
mad. I was
mad.
Just going to bring that up, that Andrew was not impressed with you guys' typical anti-Western banter, blah. Sorry, Andrew. It's okay, buddy. I know it doesn't sound like I'm pulling the weight here, but...
Well, we're not picking on Western.
No. Not Western as a whole, no. We're just more... For me, I guess, and I've said this before too, I'm an outsider, so I don't understand the public versus private debate, and especially with people my age and maybe older that were here. I hear a lot about those rivalries, the post toasties, and you know, the egging each other's houses and all this kind of stuff that went back and forth. And granted, we have that, like we had that where I grew up between rivals, but it wasn't, you know, I still know people that went to Sheldon, that when you mention Western sports, they go, pfft, and that's their response. So maybe it's more of an indictment of sports being an identity.
Oh, for
it's
sure.
It's not an academic deal.
There's people that don't like Tom Brady because he's good.
I could see that.
And he cheated.
But I'll bring this from high school to college. I want to say that, and I'm wrong, obviously, I'm just influence of atmosphere, but Iowa Hawkeye fans are the most rabid fan base that I've ever seen. And the fact...
it's called an inferiority complex.
Iowa State, right? Yes, somewhat bringing this up because Mitch is an Iowa State fan, but there's a lot of people that Iowa is an identity. Like that's...
Oh, yeah. Well, and that goes for any team, but it seems like around here, Hawkeye fans, it's like you were... It's a personality flaw to not be a Hawkeye fan.
Yes.
Like it says something about who you are as a person that you would lower yourself to like Nebraska or Iowa State. And I'm like, you only like the Hawkeyes because your dad did. You didn't have any more say in it than anybody else did. And even if you did... Who gives a shit, frankly?
Yeah. For me, it was when I moved here.
You don't play for him, dude.
That's
When I moved here, it was, so who's your team? Oh, the Vikings. No. I mean, the teams that matter. Who's your college team? I'm like, I don't know. I guess I was a fan of the Gophers, but we sucked for years. So we just said, well, whatever. We got the Vikings, you know? But that's not an acceptable response I found. Aaron, I think you've changed over the last year.
No, I'm still the same guy.
Now you've changed.
No, I think you have a little
voted.
Bit.
2-0. Oh, well, I guess that it must be true.
Plus, I talked to Scruff. He agrees. it is interesting how, and maybe it's not that you've changed, or it's more that you've become more confident, because you are kind of an outlier in your community, because your community is so small. That you are,
he's worried about where you're going with this.
Yeah.
Well, no. All I'm saying,
all I know is, if I don't like what you're saying, I just yell a really bad word that we can't play,
and then we have to edit the whole farting thing.
It's like the eject button.
Yep. you have taken some stances publicly that would be counter to your immediate base.
Yeah.
So obviously you grew up in a town of 2,500 people and in a church of
1,500 people and a church of 200.
And the church of 200, that's your real family. That's your core. Mm-hmm. And do you think that in that group that there are people that are as open-minded and vocal as you are open-minded. Of those two things.
That's tricky because...
Empathetic.
I would say empathy is a big part of it. To say that, there's only 1% of us that are open-minded. If you would ask everybody
Everyone's going to say that they're open-minded.
Well, I got an open mind.
And I don't mean to go on some sort of elitist rant, but I guess...
You don't mean to, but you do.
Like, yeah.
But the point, I guess the point that I was trying to make is that you, when we started doing this, and certainly while we were on radio, you were very afraid that while you may have had these thoughts or ideas, you were afraid to share them because of either a lack of confidence or a fear of consequences, one of the two. And now it's like you're coming into your own. It's you're emerging from the cocoon.
Well, I will say, when we were on radio, there was a great fear of what you said. There really was. You had... You didn't want to have anybody have to call into the radio because radio, the management didn't care. They wouldn't actually look into it. They'd just come down on you about it. And so you didn't want it to happen.
Right.
And now the podcast is a little different. We have a defined audience.
And do you think that you've had any hot takes while we've done this podcast that would not have flown on radio?
Oh, for sure.
Like what?
Anything politics-wise.
Yeah, you wouldn't comment one way or the other very often.
No.
But you wouldn't have on the podcast when we first started either.
He did a little.
Nah.
It just happens.
None of us would.
Happens to be the timing. Because of what's happened in our society over the last 5 months, that's going to bring about more comment.
Yeah.
It's not that what I think has changed. It's just bringing about comments and reflections on society and locally where we live. And there's a lot of people that I do business with and consider friends that I think are completely off their rocker. I got family that I think is completely off their rocker. But I'm not going to be combative about it.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I'm not afraid to say it here that, yeah, you guys really got to just take a step back here.
And do you think
take
that
a breath of fresh air
that your stance or your level of commitment to that idea has changed in the last 6 months?
No.
You think that you've always
it's
been
just what we've been through.
Is I think about this too, that in the last 6 months I've really, granted, I think some of it is just being numb because of it was just so much to deal with that you become numb to the whole thing. But there was one point during the last 6 months Mitch gave me and I told you so, and I do recall that, and I'll keep that the subject of the conversation between us, but it was in reference to politics, and it's been very telling.
Sometimes I think we have to go through things to realize where we're at and who we are and how to move forward best. And that is something I've seen within the last couple of years within my church. It's what I've seen within the last couple of years within my business. And it's what I've seen within the last couple of years in my nation.
So with that hindsight in mind, if you could go back a couple of years, how would you utilize that hindsight? What would you change? What would you do different?
I would tell some people, look, nobody's eating baby chili.
Which is a literal thing that people think.
Many people and some around here think there's no giant deep state pedophile ring run by every Democrat elected to Congress.
And any Republican who happens to disagree with you on a particular day.
Correct.
Yeah.
You got to really distance yourself. And everything that you see on Facebook is not true. Do some independent fact checking, please. That's how I would address the last 6 months. But the baby soup thing gets me,
right?
Mm-hmm. What is wrong with you people?
Right? That's just...
That's real. And we were so close. I mean, the fans say, I mean, he's got him where he wants him. Just wait. He's got him where he wants him.
Would you just shut up? This is a little
much.
Would
you not make everything about politics and what party and whatever? Like, I don't give a shit. Knock it off.
So this is where I want to say, politically, I guess when you talk about the platforms and... ain't enough time for this. Whole nother show. I'm done.
Look what you did, Wayne.
I'm sorry. I saw an opening. We had Super Bowl food and Dustin Diamond on the docket.
That would have been a lot more fun, so, actually.
You know, I had to think about the one time I saw Saved by the Bell.
Worst show ever. There's my hot take. There's a hot take I'm not afraid to share.
It's like, didn't it play at 4 o'clock
by the Bell
or something?
Sucked. Yeah, worst show. If you liked that, you probably also liked Friends. And that is the worst thing I can say about your taste in pop culture.
I liked Friends because I was watching it like four years after it was played. Well, so for me, it was like, oh my.
I maybe played that up for effect. I enjoyed Friends, but if you think Friends is the funniest, best sitcom that ever was, you probably also like Saved by the Bell, and you are very wrong on both accounts.
I don't think it's wrong to like Saved by the Bell.
First show ever.
I don't know what you have against that.
I hated it.
That is such a weird hot take.
No, I hated it. Everybody else loved it, and maybe it's because I was introduced to some... sitcoms and stuff that I maybe shouldn't have been at an earlier age that were actually funny. And then I watched
the boobs.
No, it wasn't any of that. But stuff that was actually funny. And then you watch that and you're like, dumbest.
How old were you when you were watching it?
I don't know. Elementary school.
Because if you were watching it during first run, you should not have been watching anything more risque than that.
I didn't say risque. I just mean things that were actually funny.
I saw Saved by the Bell. The only time I saw it was in a trailer house.
There you go.
You about sucked that entire glass bottle right into your throat.
Why would you do that? What an odd recollection.
That's what I remember. Having a friend, and they're like, hey, Saved by the Bell. Like a new friend. Hey, Saved by the Bell.
And you never went back to their house, did you?
No.
You had good taste.
Because we didn't have cable.
Tell
I didn't either.
tell me you know the whereabouts of this friend and that they're okay and you're not.
I see him every Sunday.
Okay.
All right.
Hopefully he doesn't listen.
What's so bad? What? I'm just saying. That's what I remember.
Went to a trailer house once.
Saw Saved by the Bell. Never needed to see it again.
Nope, nope.
Yep.
F minus would not recommend.
Yeah. F minus is right.
Yeah. Well, people love Screech. Worst character ever.
I don't know. Were you like harmed by a good looking blonde man?
I was offended by other people liking a stupid show.
Oh, you elitist ass.
No, I'm not an elitist. Stupid. I just
and
didn't
I
look like
down
it.
On you because of it.
Maybe, yeah.
Would it shock you to know that I could probably recite the entire opening line yet?
It wouldn't shock me a bit.
Well, it looks like you want to.
go ahead.
Wake up in the morning, alarm clock's warning, and never gonna make it on time. Oh, you still know it, though.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
And I grab my books, and I give myself a look, and I get to the corner to see the bus ride by. It's all right. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Please
add that. Look, Screech is being zany again.
Dude, I have two words for you. Kelly Kapowski.
Yeah.
He's obviously a blonde guy.
No, Kelly Kapowski was the
she was
the
a brunette. Looking, yeah. She was a brunette. He's saying that you're a blonde guy.
No, that you appreciate the blondes. You, of course, you're not.
Oh,
gonna like
I misunderstood. I thought you were getting Kelly Kapowski confused with Zach Morris.
No.
The blonde guy. I thought that's what you said. I'm sorry.
I'm glad that you had to explain it to us when we were trying to explain it to you.
No, I'm explaining how I misunderstood what he said.
It's funny because you don't have hair, but if you did, I would almost swear it was blonde by that comment. So what are you guys bringing for food, by the way?
Speaking of Bush's grill and beans.
Are you serious?
With extra cut up hot dogs.
No.
Well, my entire family will just be eating off this. Thank you.
Did I bring beans to your place last year? I hope I did because
yeah,
that's what I'm
did.
Doing this year too.
They were good.
You're darn right.
You kind of doctored them up, I think, didn't you?
Yeah. Like, no. Or like, you no, said little, you like, did. Little, like he gave you the can and said, "Ooh, it's the expensive one. It's got steak in it."
Mm-hmm. Steak in quotation marks on the can.
A little drip of Worcestershire sauce. Remember when Mitch had to explain to us on radio how to say Worcestershire?
Worcestershire. Yep.
See?
Obviously had a lasting impact.
Mm-hmm.
Not on this guy.
Mitch asked yesterday if he could bring some ground round.
Oh, so good.
Your tiger meat.
Yeah. Tiger meat. It's great.
Yeah, you brought it here and enjoyed it all by yourself and the rest went in the
well,
dumpster.
I brought a whole pound of ground beef to eat raw and nobody else joined me.
I did. I had a couple bites.
It is 2021. We cook our food.
It is tasty. You like well-done steak, so what the... Your opinion doesn't count.
Oh, snap.
Why don't you go home and eat well-done steak while watching Friends, and I will be at home...
Judging the hell out of you. Yeah. it took a lot of weird turns on this show, so yeah. I apologize to all the people that I offended on Aaron's behalf, and...
And I'm excited to see what the edited version... becomes.
You and me both, buddy.
Yeah.
You and me both.
Yeah.
Oh, because it kind of depends on what mood I'm in. You know,
be in a mood that you don't want Aaron or I to offend anyone, except people who like Saved by the Bell, because I don't care about them.
Weirdest hot take I've ever
heard. It's not weird.
You thought my anti-yawning thing was bad. This is next worldly.
Whatever.
I guess we'll.
All right. I'll read your ad now.
All right, please do.
Today's episode of the DBA Pod is brought to you by Super High Tech. What are the chances your child does something dumb to their phone this week?
Like
this
watch month? Saved by the Bell on it.
Hey, you know, Zach Morris's phone never needed fixing. That is one good thing about those days. Anyway, Super High Tech in Sheldon, Orange City, and Sioux Center is open 6 days a week to help you out on the web at super-ht.com.
And I have a close here that says you can learn more about the pod and just who the hell we think we are by hitting us up on social media. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I tell you that we have a website, too. I guess it's there. And
dude on his union smoke break.
Yep. It's lasting roughly forever, but as soon as the other guys give me content, we'll have something up for you. Until then, we'll see you.